Taken from Samuel chapter 3, 1 to 11, and Ephesians 2, 4 to 10. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, bless Dana this morning. Sanctify his mouth as he illuminates the scripture. And open our ears, sharpen our minds, quicken our hearts to receive your word. Amen. From Samuel 3, chapter 3. Now the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of Jehovah had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that Jehovah was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle." And the reading from Ephesians. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord.
There was a chair in the basement of the church in Dubuque, Iowa, where I did my youth ministry before I moved here to Alaska. And this was a $700 designer chair designed by a famous person in Italy. And it was made of plastic, hard plastic, insect green, hard plastic chair that looked like an overstuffed chair. And I sat in it once. And I can't really imagine why it's called a chair. Because it's not much to look at and it's not much to sit in. And my idea of a chair is it's a piece of technology that's made for comfortable and useful seating. This was very valuable, but it didn't really strike me as a chair. And I'm giving you this strange little illustration to just bring forward to you the idea that sometimes we have terminology regarding things of our faith, but the definition might be a little loose or might be a little hard to understand, or we might say the word many times without really thinking about what it means. Today I want to bring two words before you. One is the theme for 2022, and the other is the theme for this morning in this next series between now and Pentecost. You may have heard me say in another sermon earlier that 2022, this year, is the year of spiritual formation for us. That's the theme that I'm preaching through. So the Lord's Prayer, we went through that. Reconciliation, the most difficult and important part of our working out our faith, dealing with forgiving and being forgiven. And now, as we turn to a season before Pentecost, we're going to be talking about what I lovingly call mystical Christianity. Basically, we'll be taking a breeze through the gift of prophecy, how the gift of prophecy works and who prophets are and what that has to do with us. And I'm taking us through this theme because I want it to be clear that when I use the term spiritual formation, I'm talking about something spiritual, mystical, supernatural. Our faith as Christians could be defined by a dictionary as adhering to certain beliefs and certain practices. And we can be Christians sociologically. But I'm here to call all of us, me first, and whoever's coming with me, to a life of greater and greater transformation that is a transformation that begins in the Spirit. You read in the call to worship today, body, soul, and spirit. You remember that? You can look at it. Body, soul, and spirit. We were dead in our trespasses, but when Christ came into our hearts, when the Holy Spirit came in, our spirit was raised, and now we're seated with Christ in heavenly realms. Your conscience, your psyche is still here. The word soul in Greek is psyche. You can still think, you still have a will, that's here on earth. Your body's still here, I see it. But your spirit has been raised with Christ, and that is the rudder on the ship. If there's any transformation in your life, any spiritual formation, it's coming because your spirit has been raised with Christ. I'm going to talk about the three calls that God gives that bring us to that place of transformation that comes with your spirit being raised with Christ. But first, I just wanted to point out the theme of spiritual formation. Now, I once was at a conference with a famous author named Marva Dawn. She's not an author that I really like to agree with because she was one that made a lot of critiques of contemporary worship, saying, be careful of this contemporary worship. And I love contemporary worship, so I was a little bit at odds with her. But when she came and spoke, I had to admit that she had a real faith in Christ, a real love for the Lord, and she's learned and godly. And she said something at that conference that I won't forget. She said that it always kind of bugs her when people say, I want to be a better Christian. And she responded like this, can you crucify Christ any better? You're a Christian because your spirit has been raised and is seated with Christ in heavenly realms. Your salvation is or it isn't. And when your salvation is, it is. Now, being a better Christian, what we call that means being in more agreement, walking in step with the Holy Spirit. So as I say the words spiritual formation, what I want you to picture is being in agreement with the Holy Spirit. You can't crucify Christ any better. You can't raise your spirit up with Him in heavenly realms any more than it already is, if that's what you've received. But you can bring your life, your mind, your will, your thoughts, the practices of your body into agreement with what's been done for you eternally. So that is spiritual formation. I thought it was a good time to define my terms since we're almost 5 months into the year. And I've been saying it so far. So, now about these three callings. These callings all come under the umbrella of prophecy. I'm going to explain that. Samuel is one of many prophets in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and his story as a young boy really puts a magnifying glass on what it means to be a prophet. To be a prophet is to be somebody who hears the word of the Lord. You heard in that scripture that Samuel did not yet know the word of the Lord. He heard Samuel, but he didn't know it was God's voice. And so when the writer of that First Samuel book is saying he didn't know the Lord, it meant he didn't know God's voice. A prophet is somebody who has an encounter with God and hears a communication with God and then has a commission to say what has been spoken for the good of God's people. Guess what? That's you. If you are a disciple of Christ, if you've been born of the Holy Spirit, if you've been born again, you've heard the voice of the shepherd. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And he talked about, this is in John chapter 5 when he mentioned that, he talked about two ways of being raised. He said, they'll be dead and they'll be alive. Let me see if I can find that for you. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word," "truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he granted the Son to also have life in himself." Jesus talked regularly in John's Gospel about eternal life that is now and that is forever. When you hear the voice of Jesus and live, that's when you're regenerated. That's when you're born again. You hear God calling you. That is becoming a Christian in the spiritual sense. You can be a Christian in the sociological sense by being faithful and a church member and coming to church and practicing Christian practices. But you're really a spiritual Christian when you hear the voice of Jesus and live. So that means, oh Christian, that you're a prophet. You've heard God's voice, and Jesus is the one that tells you, go and make disciples. What you've heard, you need to share with others for their good. So in the most basic sense, this is something I mentioned in the sermon series on spiritual gifts, in the most basic sense, you are a prophet. It doesn't mean you get to start a new religion in California. Doesn't mean that you start a commune. It just means that you've heard God's voice. And so now I'm going to talk about the three callings that are described in our theological tradition. They're supported by Scripture, but they're not taken from 1 Samuel. Samuel is called three times. It's just coincidental that there's also these three callings in our theological tradition. It may be part of a bunch of other theological traditions too, but I just know it's part of ours. The first calling is the general calling. I had a group of youth in Seattle, and we went to the Key Arena to hear an evangelist, and there were thousands of people there, and the evangelist was referencing alternative music, which is sort of the music of my youth, this rock music that came out in Seattle in the 1990s, and he said, guess what, there's an alternative. You don't have to have drugs and alcohol and immorality, things that leave you dry and empty. You can have Jesus who will fill you up. There's an alternative. You don't have to live the life that you're living. And he said then, I want you to come down to the front on the floor of this arena and kneel down and pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I turn away from my sin and I ask you to wash me clean and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And there was one of the youth that I had with me who had been in an at-risk lifestyle. As far as I know, he had carried a gun. He was dealing drugs. He was being recruited by gangs. But he came to Christ at some point along the way, and he turned to his friends. He said, you got to go down there. You got to do this. You need to pray that prayer. I found out later that he came to Christ after I gave just a brief sermon illustration that referenced hell. I imagined Jesus going down in an elevator to experience the punishment of God so that we wouldn't have to. And that hit that one youth so hard that he gave his life to Christ. And he said, along with the evangelist, go down to the front. Pray that prayer. Ask Jesus into your heart. That's the general calling of the gospel. I have a brother, as you know, who's been in a hard situation for decades. And years ago, when I was only in my 20s and he was fairly new at having no permanent address, I had prayed for him. I prayed that somebody would share the gospel with him to give him this general call, come to Jesus. And then one day when I was visiting him and he had an apartment for a little while, no furniture, no heat, but it was indoors. And he shared with me that another homeless man had been playing the Vernon McGee radio broadcast to him and sharing the gospel with him, giving him that general call, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. I'll give it to you right now. Come to Jesus. If you have never trusted him as your Savior, put your sin away from you and let it be washed clean forever. Ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit and give you a new life. He'll start your life over and he'll never forsake you. That's the call. That's the general call. It goes to everyone. Some respond and some don't. The second call is the effectual call. Now, I looked up the word effectual in the dictionary because I just don't use it that often. Come to find out, it's the same word as effective. So if you want to sound like you know what you're talking about, you say effectual. But if you actually want somebody to understand, you just say effective. It's the call that works. There's a call that goes out when the Lord says, come to Jesus and follow him. And it actually hits. It takes. And something inside you says, I've got to have him. I've got to surrender. I can't talk my way out of it anymore. I can't make any more bargains. I don't know what it is, but I've got to have Jesus. That call came from me in 1991 in Wrangell, Alaska. We flew over the mountain and from Cake, flew over the island and landed in Wrangell, and there were 20 eagles in one tree right by the church. It was February, and it was a presbytery meeting, of all things. They had a worship service after the business meeting, and they let some Baptists in there. I've told you this before, but you keep hearing it. Anyway, they were sweating and preaching and praying and saying, I know it's so hard. And then they did the unthinkable at a presbytery meeting. They said, come up to the front. Now imagine them standing right here and you being right there because it's about what it's like. But this many people, this little bit smaller sanctuary, bunch of Presbyterians. And I said, Lord, and the way I understand it, we don't do that. The Bible says, you know, go pray in a closet and don't show off if you're going to be spiritual. So you go ahead and touch me right here. The Holy Spirit kept saying, go up, go up. And I went up and they put their hands on me and prayed for me. I don't know what they said. A woman took me by the shoulders and said, God is good, on my way back to my seat. And I can't really tell you exactly what happened except that I was changed. And I knew at that moment I was surrendering. There was no more trying to solve all the problems myself, no more saying, God, you can have everything but. I just surrendered as I was, as he was. And my life started to change. I was hungry for the scriptures. I wanted to know everything I could about God. And sin just started to not be welcome in my life anymore that used to be welcome. That's the effectual call. That's the call that works. On that night at the Key Arena when the evangelist invited all the youth down to the front, there were some that heard it and it worked. Their lives changed that very night forever. That's a call from God. That's hearing God's voice. Now the third call is the vocational call. You heard the word vocation, right? There's vocational rehab where you learn, you know, you can't be a logger anymore, so you work on a computer, whatever it is. You have vocational rehabilitation, you had a change in your life, and you have to find a new vocation. Vocation's the way we make our money, right? Well, it comes from a Latin word from the 14th century that means God's beckoning, God's summons. It's a theological word. It means God is calling you. We get this idea that you've found your calling in life. That's what we call it, right? I'm a plumber, I'm a butcher, baker, candlestick maker. It's my calling. Well, that comes from the Bible. It comes from Samuel, 1 Samuel, God saying, Samuel, Samuel. So what this means is that when Jesus washes you clean and saves your soul, he doesn't wash you for comfort or for static stagnation. He has a call on your life. He wants you to do something. This is what we read about in Ephesians chapter 2. This salvation that's been purchased from you before the foundation of the world, God has called you for good works that were prepared for in advance. So this is the question of the morning. Do you know the old, what is it, a 70s or 80s song? Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you? Maybe that's not, you know, a complete overlap of the third call. But do you have a sense that you know what the Lord wants you to do with this salvation he's given you? This idea that you're God's workmanship means God's been working on you. God's been dealing with you. God's been preparing you. God's been investing in you. This theme is all over the scripture. The seed of ground, the seed that goes into the ground and bears a hundredfold fruit. God has an intention to use you in a prophetic way to share his word, to share God's heart, and to let that be manifested in the things that you do. And I think just a quick example of that in our setting right here is the wood ministry. I mean, there's a lot of different ministries. Every ministry, you're going to have a ministry today talking to people after church, talking to your family, and you'll be put to the test. How will you talk? There's no test greater than talking as far as dealing with what's right and wrong. And unfortunately, I know this myself. You're going to be put to the test. You're going to be talking. Are you talking with a mission? Do you understand that God has a purpose for your life? He's been preparing you. He's been shaping you. There's a call on your life. You have a vocation to serve God, to work prophetically, to share God's heart with people for their upbuild. Sometimes it's as simple as talking after church with the people that you're stuck in the car with on the way home. But sometimes it takes the form of an active ministry that you can recognize, like the wood ministry. Now, back in Oregon, you've heard this again, it's a repeat sermon illustration, but somebody said, let's have a wood ministry. There's people that heat their homes with wood, there's trees, let's cut one down, let's help somebody heat their home. And it was a blast. And when I said, let's try that here, I didn't know that we'd have a giant woodshed and people all over town that really would have been cold this winter, not for that ministry. And I felt the Lord felt like it was good to the Holy Spirit for me to ask Matt to take it over for the whole ministerial association. It started our church, but it's the whole town's ministry. And he's done it. He's been faithful. That's God's call. So I want to ask you this morning, have you heard God's call? Have you heard God's call in your life? Do you recognize the weight of being a prophet? Being a prophet means that there's a weight on your shoulders. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet because his whole life, from his young youth to his old age, he had to say over and over again, you're doomed. He hated that. He hated that. He knew that God hated it. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But because they were doomed and they deserved a chance to hear that if they didn't turn around, they were doomed. It was his calling to repeat God's heart to them. He didn't do it because he wanted them to suffer. He didn't do it because he wanted one drop of blood to be shed. He just had to do it because it was God's call. There's a burden with knowing God's voice and hearing it and having the discernment to speak it rightly. Now, there's a burden on telling and there's a burden on listening. As you heard in the call to worship, that we're not to despise prophecy, but we're also to test and see if it's good. Some things you receive and some things you don't. This is a test that you can have for whether somebody's speaking to you in a way that's sharing God's heart or if they're just blowing hot air. Is it meant to make you right with God, to help you with God? Prophecies aren't to micromanage your life, and they're not to cut you down. They're to strengthen you in the faith so that you can enjoy the love relationship with God that Christ died to give you. So, I'm calling you to get into the burden, to get into the burden of knowing God's voice, hearing it, discerning it, and knowing the right way to share it with others. I believe that all of you have done this. You've done it for me, and you've done it for others. And I'm just calling you to lean into it today. And I'm calling you to see to try and discern day by day what is the calling that God's been preparing you for. If God's been working on you like you're God's workmanship, then everything you're doing about your business in the day isn't really your own business. You're an instrument in God's hands for God's purposes, and we don't know. We don't know what kind of world we're living in next week or next year or next decade. We don't know what kind of life we're being called to participate in. We don't have a day that's guaranteed or even a breath that's guaranteed. So every minute is a time to really take seriously the call of God on our lives. So may the Lord give us grace to feel honored that we would be put in such a position to hear God's voice and make it known. May He give us discernment and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.